So, first of all, I have to say this, that human beings are ancestral beings. We're made of ancestral stuff.
What's that?
We're made of ancestral stuff. So we can start looking at that by looking at, you know, a modern Western view that we call genetics and inheritance and stuff. You know, it's like, you know, the DNA and the genes and all that kind of stuff that, you know, our body and our, even some of our characteristic emotional expressions and so forth are inherited. Where does that all that stuff that builds us out comes from? Well, it comes from the our immediate ancestors, namely our mother and father. Right? Mm-hmm. Would anyone disagree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. And where did theirs come from? From their parents and so on. So that there's an unbroken line of transmission of genetic ancestral material that results in you and I being here right now. So in that way, in that very literal way, we are an expression of our ancestors. We're made of ancestral stuff.
What about foster family or an adopted family?
Well,
which genes are you? Just the genes or the experience of existence, you know, who raised you? Because there's an influence.
Well, there is an influence, but just like there's an influence through all the experiences and relationships in your life. But in terms of what are you made of? And I'm speaking now in a very literal, you know, Western way. What you are made of, what your body is made of, is built out from the genetic material from your parents. Yes, there are all kinds of other influences that modify that and influence it in various ways, but what are we made of? We're made of ancestral stuff, which in the Western view is, you know, they call it the DNA and the genes and the chromosomes and all that kind of stuff. Chinese medicine, they go a little step further and they say not only the genes and the chromosomes and your physical structure, but also what that you might translate as your life force is also inherited from your ancestors. We have a term for that that's called ancestral chi. And they say, quite correctly, that you are given a reservoir of that one time in your life at conception. And it's enough to sustain your life for your lifetime. There's no way to replenish it. You only get your ancestral stuff from your parents one time. Yeah? When that's used up, your life is over. And you can go another step in that direction and just say that spiritually also, in all the ways that that means to you. In other words, right now we're talking about the seen part of you. There's also the unseen. That's also an ancestral expression. Now, let me just continue on this track for a moment. So I'm trying to answer your question. Hold on a second. Now, one thing that is very seldom recognized here in the Western world anyway, is that that ancestral energy that we're speaking about, and that I'm speaking about right now, also includes, fundamentally, the what I'm going to call the traditions that were given to the ancestors to help them live in the world in a good way. That is also part of the ancestral energy. And it's also part of what we're all made of. Every peoples were given, first of all, a way of seeing and relating to the world that was a fit for who they were and where they were brought forth. And also given very specific and special ways of moving and keeping in balance with the world. And that is a spiritual matter. It's a way of relating to what we can loosely call the divine. Because all the ancestors see and know that the world is not just a bunch of stuff. It's all an expression of divine. So how do we move and get along in this world and keep it in balance? Well, that was all given to the ancestors as part of who they were. I guess we could think of it like the totem animals. In fact, that's part of it too. Because different peoples have different, you might call them, I suppose, tribal totems. But anyway, so what I'm calling the ancestral traditions are as much part of who we are as the genes and the chromosomes and the DNA that we inherit. Now, the ancestors are primarily concerned with keeping the living people connected to this so that the living, both presently and down into future generations, can live a good life. Because they know that's how it's done. And a big part of this, to get back to our discussion, is seeing to it that, to live a good life, we have to have a good way of touching on relating to who we are, what we're here in this world to offer, and how to go about doing that. So when it comes to calling, whether it's healing or whatever it is, farming or parenting or boat building or CPA work or whatever it may be, the ideal setup is when the person finds himself connected to and with the guidance of the ancestral tradition that provided that life, that calling, and has the, you might say, the blueprint or the instructions of how to identify it and bring it forth in its full form. So, for a person who identifies a calling for healing, which is what I was saying before, and I'm just using that as an example, it's not like that's the only calling or the best calling or anything, it's just one of many. Because everybody's calling is the perfect calling for them, no matter whether it is seen as humble or exalted or whatever. You could say in the eyes of the gods they're all equal and perfect. But optimal way of identifying and bringing forth that calling is through connection to the ancestral tradition that provided it and knows how to, what's the word I want? Can't think of a better word, it's not very good, but I'm going to say train it. Yeah? So, for people who have that calling in this society, first of all, it's unfortunately a rare special blessing that they identify it. And some people sort of spend years and years wondering, how can I really bring this forth? Other people find ways to bring it forth in a way that's helpful by connecting with something or other which has enough resonance with the original ancestral juice. And rarely these days, more and more as time goes on. And people will be finding their way back to where it really comes from in the first place. So you asked for an example. I guess I could give an example of myself. As a young man, like in my early 20s, I identified I had a calling to healing. And I spent many years slowly getting closer and closer and closer to my beam, let's call it. You know, I started off as a sort of a homegrown hippie herbalist, and that provided something for me and for others. Later on, I recognized, well, that's good, but I need a lot more. And eventually, I found my way to Chinese medicine. That provided more for me. And most importantly, for the people who I worked with. And eventually, much later in life, in my 40s, I had the good fortune to connect with my ancestral calling in that direction, which strangely enough has nothing to do with my genetic ancestry, but my soul ancestry is primarily Huichol. So that's provided what I'm going to call the full form. Now, in the old days, and in those rare places where the old days and the old ways still live on, this is something that's, you know, people don't have to spend so much time bumping around looking for stuff. It's just provided for them. The people there see that as one of their first duties to life. But in these days, it's quite a bit more complicated. Unfortunately, a lot of times it just doesn't come forth, or it comes forth partially. So, I hope that answers your question.
What about those of us whose primary tradition has gone dormant? What do we do?
Well, the thing is that yes, there are times when the traditions go dormant, but they never disappear. And when the time and the conditions are right, they pop up again. So all is never lost.
So we wait.
If that's the condition, that you wait, but not waiting with resignation or passiveness, but waiting, the waiting of the hunter. Patient, but alert to the moment and the opportunity to make the move. Knowing that an untimely move will only scare the game away, and a move that comes after the moment isn't going to bear fruit either. But just know that these things never die out. And this has happened many times before in different places of the world where the traditions have been mowed over or buried or something like that. But they always come back.
I have a sense that I've found that purpose gift through prayer and submission.
Yes.
But I have no connection to any ancestral tradition. Would I begin with the same process of prayer and submission to find that also?
Yes. And I'm going to add openness, which means, well, one of the aspects of that is patience, because the timing is not your timing, it's divine timing. So we have to get along with that. And another aspect of that is, you know, not taking your expectations seriously. How is it going to show up? When is it going to show up? What does it look like? Very rarely, you know, that the heavens part and you get a thunderous voice saying, you know, my son, go to Ooga Booga Land. The chief will be waiting for you there to welcome you and initiate you into Humma Humma.
Dang it.
That's by Homo Homo.
Most often what happens is you get a series of little clues. Just go here, do that, make this move, talk to that person. And it starts taking you down the path. So be patient, be open. Just, like I say, don't take your expectations seriously. And keep praying for guidance. And keep listening for the response.
And keep watching your bank account shrink.
Yeah. It's always a good sign. Ask any of the apprentices or Murakami.
I just remembered something you said once, about how do you find your lineage, and you said you don't, it finds you.
Yes. But if you're looking for or expecting something else, you can miss it.
Yes, if you're looking over your shoulder. I get confused about stuff like that because, you know, the way everything happens, the way, like, it can't happen any other way than it's supposed to happen. But then, you know, then you say something like, except if you're not looking the right way at the right time, you fuck up and everything's going to go to hell and it's not supposed to be like that. Like, is it... But isn't, if that happens, isn't
Wait,
it supposed
I
to
didn't,
be like that?
I didn't say it's not
no,
supposed to
didn't.
Be like that.
No, you said
you'd miss it.
But if that happens, weren't you supposed to miss it? I get confused about that.
Well, you can say, yes, you're supposed to miss it. But the catch is that that's supposed to provide learning for you. Mm. Heart guidance is really not concerned with fulfilling our expectations. It's concerned with moving us where we need to move and showing us what we need to see. And sometimes that means we need to see and we need to experience is, hard lesson. Sometimes that means you miss an opportunity. But the good news there, well, there's two good newses, I guess, is that...
You're fucking your secretary.
And the other good news. Yeah, that's the other good news. Next question? No, if something is really for you, you can't get rid of it. The opportunity will come back, and maybe through your learning, you'll be ready to take it up. Now, when does it come back? Well, it may come back in this lifetime, or it may come back in another lifetime. But in the end, so what? So, even in those times when there's a hard lesson, and you've missed something, ultimately it doesn't go to waste.